I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Karina Wiebold, economist for the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Welcome to the show, Karina.
Thank you, Shelley. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do for the Department of Labor as an economist?
Absolutely. So I've been working for the Department of Labor for the last 7 or 8 years, and a big part of what I do is look at Alaska's employment and wages. So look at jobs and look at money that people are making. And I do a lot of community outreach. So I like to do presentations and go talk to groups. And of course, I like to write for Alaska Economic Trends, our monthly magazine.
Right. And that's what we are here to talk about today. And I see you're doing your job well, being like the outreach part coming on the show today. So let's talk a little bit more about the department's magazine called Trends. What is it? Can you give us a little bit of a background?
Yeah, Trends is really an exciting product. It's probably one of the most important things that our office does. And that's really saying a lot because we do a lot of important things. Our office for its research and analysis works closely with the Bureau of Labor Statistics to put out all of the labor statistics that folks are generally familiar with, like the unemployment rate and the monthly job numbers and wages and other things like that. Trends is another just huge part of what we do, though. And the Trends magazine is focused on Alaska economic issues. We try to stay really relevant and stay current with things that are happening now that people are interested in and need to know. And we have access to the data. So really see it as a big part of our jobs to take this data from, you know, databases and online and get it to people. So Trends is just a fabulous resource. We've written about everything from fishing to in-state and out-of-state population migration, all sorts of stuff. And it's been produced monthly since the late 70s. So a huge trove of Alaska information.
Yeah, it's a legacy. Who are some of your readers? Do you know?
Oh, man, I love going out and seeing Trends magazine. With the budget cuts, we've had to cut down a little bit in print, but I used to see it in the library at my dentist office. I'd run across it in the legislature. But really, our readers are pretty much anyone in the public who's interested in knowing more about Alaska. We try to take really complicated economic subjects and make them very approachable. So we really write for everyone. I know that a big audience that we have is the state legislature. We know that they are paying attention to our products and contact us frequently. Business people, consultants, researchers, schools, the informed public, really we have a wide base.
So your article in the latest issue of Trends, April issue, is titled 2015 to 2018 Recession Hit Men Harder. And it looks at how the recession impacted the wage gap here in Alaska. So what's important about studying this older data in light of the current economic crisis that we're dealing with right now?
Well, the most important thing about looking back at the recession is it's the most recent period that we have very solid data for. So it's the period where we also had widespread job losses, similar to what we're enduring right now, but we have information on it. So if we take a deep look at what happened during our recession, we can get at least an idea of what's likely happening right now, even though we don't have all that data fully available.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I was looking at your article. It's full of really interesting information and data. And one of the things that was really eye-catching was how many jobs were lost in the pandemic compared to how many jobs were lost during the last recession. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. During the recession, so the time period between 2015 and 2018, Alaska lost about 11,000 jobs. And that was our longest recession in, you know, the state's economic history. But to put that into really sharp contrast, in just 9 months of 2020, we lost nearly 28,000 jobs. So about three times as much, or two and a half times as much, in a much shorter period of time. So the shock from the pandemic has been a lot greater.
That is, yeah, that really puts it into perspective when you look at it like that. And another thing that your article focuses on is the wage gap. So the recession brought men's and women's wages closer together. In fact, bringing them closer together than ever before, like really narrowed the gap significantly. But is that good news?
It's such a tricky subject when you look at something like that, because, you know, as for equity, it looks like good news. You know, women have been making about 68 cents on the dollar compared to men for most of the last decade, maybe decade and a half. And really that earnings ratio or wage gap has been very, very slowly improving over the last 30 years, but nothing really very exciting. What we saw, though, during the recession is that suddenly the wage gap narrowed from about 68% to 72% on the 72 cents on the dollar. It's a massive improvement, and it happened really quickly. So when we dove into why, the answers became clear. And had women just been making more money, being paid more compared to men and having industry gains, it would have been on its face a very good thing. But what we saw when we got into the microdata is what happened isn't that women were doing a lot better as after the recession, but that men really took a hit. So we, of course, want to look at why did men take a hit in the recession and why was it worse than it was for women? And it really has to do with the sectors that were hit hard in the recession. And during the recession, oil and gas was one of the first industries that got hit hard. And it lost thousands of jobs and lots in wages because those jobs pay about 2.5 times the average wage of most other Alaskan jobs. So they really contribute a lot to the economy. But women only make up about 10 or 15% of the workforce in the oil and gas work. So when you look at the overall effects on the whole population of men and women, men got hit really hard because they lost thousands of high-paying jobs. Women lost proportionately about the same number, about 40% of their workers, and men lost about 40% of their workers. But women were such a small bit of that to begin with that it almost didn't matter as much. So men really got pulled down during the recession because of oil and gas jobs. And then related to that, construction jobs, and related to that, professional and business service jobs with architects and engineers and other still a little bit male-dominated industries and well-paid. But women got... they made gains in other industries.
So when we look at the pandemic as compared to the recession, it seems like it's flipped, that women were hit harder than men. So we talked a little bit about why oil was a big part of that. But what are some other things that are different about the pandemic? Does that also come down to the sectors that were affected?
Yes. And for the recession, it was oil and gas first, and then it kind of tipped into a bunch of other things. You know, it just had like a ripple down effect. But for the pandemic, everything got hit pretty hard and pretty immediately. And oil and gas got hit hard again in the pandemic, but this time it wasn't the biggest hit. So really, when we think about what has been affected the most during the pandemic, during 2020 anyway, was leisure and hospitality jobs that accounted for about 35% of our losses, about 10,000 jobs. Transportation, warehousing, and utilities is another one that got hit really hard. That's transportation was the bulk of that. And then government jobs, particularly in local government and particularly in public schools. So women make up the majority of the workers in leisure and hospitality. In government, in public education, again, they're the majority of the workers. Transportation and warehousing, they wouldn't be. They're probably going to be more men affected by that. And oil and gas still will be hitting men harder. So, you know, oh, and then healthcare is one that got hit in the pandemic, but didn't get hit in the recent recession and has, in fact, been growing on a pretty steady trajectory for over a decade. So it's still going to be a little bit tricky to see how this pans out. We have high wage jobs being affected more for men and lower wage, but more of them jobs being affected for women. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but overall right now, for like gross numbers, it looks like women are being affected more.
That's really interesting about healthcare. Do you have any ideas as to why healthcare actually, those jobs were why that industry declined in the pandemic?
Yep, it's a little counterintuitive, but really what it was is hospital employment stayed pretty steady. It had some small increases, but it was steady. The number of workers at group homes and nursing homes has been on a long decline, and it continued to decline. But the real kicker here, and I shouldn't bury the lead, is in what we call ambulatory healthcare. And that's your dentist and your regular practitioner, your chiropractors, those folks. So anyone that you would go see them at their offices and have kind of like non-urgent support, medical support, basically. And if you think about what was happening back there with the pandemic, in the earlier days, all of those kind of extra trips to the doctor got curtailed. They recommended that people hold off on any kind of non-mandatory procedures and just wait. So we saw really big losses in the summer as people scaled back on their non-mandatory health.
Is there anything else about your article that you thought was noteworthy that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, one of the things that we haven't talked about yet that is still an important component of this is when we think about Alaska's workforce, we have Alaskan men and women, but we also have a lot of non-Alaskan, non-resident workers who come up here. And so, you know, as we consider what happened in the recession and what is and has been happening during the pandemic, we should think about them too. So oil and gas workers are about a third non-resident, and they got hit hard there. But a lot of our summer workers who come up and participate in seafood processing when we have our salmon runs, who work in Denali and Skagway and other high tourism, high seasonal small areas really depend on out-of-state laborers. And those jobs got hit hard in the recession, but at least a fair number of those workers aren't Alaskans, so they weren't coming up here in the first place, at least this summer.
If you're just joining with me, I'm speaking with Karina Wiebold. She's an economist for the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and we're talking about the latest issue of Trends magazine. You can find that online at labor.alaska.gov/trends. It's the April 2021 edition. One thing that you mentioned in the article is that we entered into the pandemic in a fairly weakened state. 2019, we were just kind of starting to come out of this recession and bounce back. And then the pandemic hit and hit us pretty hard. So what's your next article going to be about?
I love it. Thank you for asking. I'm actually looking forward to doing another deep dive into the gender wage gap. We have 2019 data now available, and I want to take a look at this new equity that we have with the 72% earnings ratio and kind of break that down and see if we saw any shifts from what we saw last time I did this. And my last deep dive was using data that's I think from 2015 now. So we have a good number of years and some significant changes since. But I want to look at educational attainment levels for men and women, age groups, different areas of the state, public versus government, public versus private sector, and just see if we see any significant and meaningful shifts in any of those breakdowns underneath the top levels. What we found when we did this study last time was that men made more than women at every breakdown. Didn't matter age, it didn't matter educational attainment, it just didn't seem to matter. So I'll be real interested to see as we kind of shift through this, if we find that the wage gap has changed at any significant sub-levels, and that'll be really interesting. And I should say though that women did make more than men in some occupations. So if you got down to the granular level, and we looked at about 850 occupations, and women would earn more in about 15% of them. And those generally did tend to be low-wage occupations, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made that point, Karina. And it's just been lovely to talk to you about your article. I found it super interesting. I look forward to reading more from you in Trends magazine. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time today. And thanks for breaking that all down for us. I really appreciate it.
It was my honor and delight to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great afternoon.